One of the rising stars of the Democratic Party, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, announced a couple weeks ago that he will not run for governor of California next year. A strange announcement, perhaps, given that Garcetti was reelected this year with 81% of the vote. The announcement fueled speculation that Garcetti might have a different job in mind, president of the United States. Eric Garcetti joins us now from Los Angeles. Mayor, welcome back.
Wonderful to be back. Thanks for having me.
And let me ask you first why you decided not to run for governor of California.
You know, I think people always assume that politicians, we're just going to run for whatever's next. But I take seriously my job right now, and the two things I love the most in the world, my family and my city, are both here in Los Angeles. I just got sworn in on July 1st, and I felt like my work is undone, and I've got an amazing job here in the biggest city and the biggest state in America, overseeing the biggest port that we have, the busiest airport of origination and destination, greening our utilities, building jobs, preparing for the Olympics. Why walk away from something good when you have it right there?
So you will serve out your full term as mayor, you think?
No, I have a supersized second term. We're changing our election date out here. So instead of 4 years, it's 5.5 years. So I never predict the future and I never make those sorts of commitments, but not because I have some sort of secret plan. My only plan right now is to dig into the traffic, to the homelessness, to the job creation, anti-poverty problems, the environmental work that we're doing right here, and also helping mayors around the country really highlight and connect with that work, because I think we all feel very powerless nationally right now when I want to remind people how powerful we are in our own local communities.
Well, a lot of people think that the reason that you're not running for governor, as you know, is because they believe you want to run for president in 2020. Do you have any interest in that?
I'll let others speculate on that. I assure you I'm really 100% focused on my job here. And it's not new that I've been traveling the country, although I'm doing it with new vigor because I think increasingly we have to find those solutions in other communities. I was, just in South Bend, Indiana. My wife's from Indiana, so I travel there frequently. And I spent time there with, 5 different mayors in their offices, CEOs and others looking at solutions. So, of course it matters who runs this country, but that's not what I'm focused on. I'm not a candidate for president right now. I'm a mayor of a great city, and I want to do that work first and foremost.
How do you feel as a Democrat right now? There was a sketch the other night on Saturday Night Live that portrayed the Democratic leadership of the moment, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, as old and out of touch.
You love our fresh new ideas delivered by fresh new faces like me, Nancy Pelosi.
And me, Dianne Feinstein.
And me, Chuck Schumer.
Well, the sketch was hilarious, but, there's some shades of truth and probably some shades that are completely unfair. We've got an amazing team of some talented people that are working out there on really important issues, infrastructure. Dianne Feinstein, my senator, has done incredible work on the environment. She's working right now on gun control after the Las Vegas shootings and has done amazing work like the torture report. But I also do think that the Democratic Party in general, I've said, needs to be less obsessed with itself and more obsessed with American people. I don't care who the leader of the party is, even though Tom Perez is a good friend, because I think that, most Americans don't wake up asking, hey, who leads the Republican Party? Who leads the Democratic Party? What they wake up concerned about is their debt or their house payments or their education opportunities. We need to make sure there's a lot of voices in this discussion, and don't think about ourselves just as Democrats. Think of ourselves as people who are leaders focused on an American agenda rather than a Democratic agenda, and I think we'll do well.
One of the voices in the discussion right now, and he's been all over TV with his ads, is the Democratic billionaire Tom Steyer, who is calling for the impeachment of President Trump.
I'm Tom Steyer, and like you, I'm a citizen who knows it's up to us to do something. It's why I'm funding this effort to raise our voices together and demand that elected officials take a stand on impeachment.
Do you believe that President Trump should be impeached?
Well, I would have to look at evidence. There's a lot of very troubling things that we've seen out of this administration, absolutely during the campaign, interactions that he had with representatives had with Russian officials. Those things are incredibly corrosive to and troubling about our democracy. But it is not the only thing going on in our country. I think we have to get to the truth of that. And if that evidence leads to impeachment, of course, that's something that has to be on the table. But it's just as important to think about who's going to be in the House, think about what they represent, and become a party that is about what we give to Americans rather than, as I see the Republicans right now, defining themselves by what they take away, taking away our health health care, taking away our immigration status, taking away our environmental protections, taking away our educational opportunities. I think we're better than that. So while we have folks like Tom, who's a friend too, who are focused very much on getting to the truth, and that is necessary, we also have to move the country forward. We can't just play defense.
How do you do that as a Democrat? What should the party be running on in 2018?
I do it every day here, and I do it with Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. We passed the largest infrastructure initiative in the nation's history the same night that Donald Trump was elected out here in Los Angeles. It's actually double the next biggest infrastructure initiative ever put before local voters. That's $120 billion. And if you look at another six or seven cities around the country, that same night that everybody focuses on so obsessively, we passed $230 billion of infrastructure. That's a quarter of what Washington, D.C. is talking about doing over 10 years, and we passed it in a single night. When President Trump withdrew from the Paris Climate Accords, another great example, I chair something called Climate Mayors. And instead of crying in a corner, I got on the phone and started talking to my fellow mayors and saying, why don't we pledge to implement the Paris Climate Accords? And we have now 383 cities that I've gotten on board, representing about 70 million Americans in 44 states. So, you know, we've got to just continue showing that we know how to get things done.
But on the issue of infrastructure, don't you feel like it's less likely now that there is going to be some big infrastructure plan from Washington? This is something that President Trump had said he supported. A lot of Democrats, obviously, in favor of infrastructure investment, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, the pace is very disappointing. This should have been the first thing that Congress and the administration did instead of, you know, unfortunately having to fight over health care, a tax cut. In fact, that money from the repatriation of corporate profits that are overseas really was, by a bipartisan consensus a couple years ago, going to go into rebuilding America, rebuilding our roads instead of, you know, a tax break for corporations that are making record amount of money. So I'm always an optimist. I always believe that there is a room and a deal, and most importantly, not because just mayors are calling for it. Americans are calling for it.
What do you think of the Republican tax plan, the tax cuts?
I'm troubled by the Republican tax cut. I don't quite understand right now, when we have corporations making record profits, why we're looking to give them further tax breaks, as well as folks at the top of the economic scale who now have more wealth than any time in the last 100 years. You know, tax cuts that actually go to working class and middle class people, I'm not opposed to, but if that's at the cost of a soaring deficit, this is not only illogical, it's immoral. They're talking about doing this with $1.5 trillion in cuts of Medicaid and Medicare. That just seems wrong at a moment when we should be expanding opportunities for people. So the second thing that troubles me greatly is the loss of some of the most important deductions for the middle class. And in states like mine, where we have the local and state tax deduction, to eliminate that is essentially telling donor states like mine, we're not only going to take extra dollars from you, but on top of that, you can't deduct that money, and that seems immoral.
You visited Asia in 2014 on a trade mission. You went to Japan and South Korea and China, big trading partners with Los Angeles. What do you think of President Trump's trip to Asia?
You know, I think that President Trump's trip to Asia was a dream for those folks who would like to replace American leadership. I think it was full of tantrums. It was full of rhetoric that sometimes sounded good. But at the end of the day, it reflected a very, very weak America. It's not the America that I know. An America that is strong is engaged. An America that is strong keeps its words to itself and lets its actions speak more loudly. It doesn't let other countries come together in trade pacts and then another one completely be able to write us off. He talks a tough game, but I haven't seen any actions. I just see weakness over and over again. It wasn't America first. It felt like it was dictators first on this trip.
What are you talking about specifically there? Why do you say that it showed weakness?
You know, for instance, you know, just taking Putin's word on the elections, or that China, you know, which is very much active in the world, engaged in places like Africa in the way that the United States used to be, is really replacing some of our global leaderships. We're backing away from those values that informed us, like human rights in the Philippines. We're backing away from the way that we used to engage with our closest allies in Japan and South Korea. And most of all, we're inconsistent. We have kind of Twitter tantrums instead of well-thought-out policies. We're seeing a divide between our own intelligence services and our commander-in-chief. Those things are very corrosive to power. From America has always been a combination of our hard power, our military and economic might, and the soft power that people want to be like us. And I think fewer and fewer of our friends today want to be like us, and we need to restore that.
Mayor Garcetti, I want to ask you one more question. And again, we understand you're not running for president right now, but just in case you do at some point, You're a former Navy.
I'll announce it on NPR first.
That's right. Okay. You can come right here and do it. We'll be happy to have you back. You're a former Navy Intelligence Reserve officer. Do you think that it is time to end the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq?
Well, the engagement in Iraq, I think we need to continue having some, you know, presence there. I think that's very important. The war formally is over. In Afghanistan, I do think we need a better thought out exit strategy. We need to make sure that the Afghanis and that the region can take care of itself, or else this is really going to be a war with no end in sight. If you look at Afghani history in Afghanistan, it will be, you know, decades, if not a century more, of fighting. And I think that the United States often feels like we on our own can solve these problems. I have tremendous, tremendous love and admiration for my fellow service members that are over there, and I think they're doing an extraordinary job. But for them and for this nation, I do think that we will need to have an exit strategy in the next couple of years. President Obama attempted that. Now we're kind of re-upping, and I'd hate to see that creep become what is already the longest war in our history become even longer.
That's Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles. Mayor, thanks as always for joining us.
Great to be with you.